All right, well, let's get started. We are back with another session of Pig Smoke, the game of academic excellence. Session three, and we'll start off reverse lists. Marcus, go ahead and tell us who your character is.
Hi, I'm Marcus, and I am playing Seymour something Mortimer III, a professor of the life and death department and retired evil overlord. More like failed retired evil overlord, but sometimes you've just got to stop doing the family business.
And Steven.
Hello, my name is Steven, and I am playing Vadis the Indiscriminate. He is a elderly, rotund wizard of the classical sense. All he cares about is explosions and where his next meal is coming from. And that he has to teach people how to explode other things in order to get that next meal is how he got into academia. So there is that. That's Vadis in a nutshell. And there's really nothing else to say about that guy.
And Jameis.
Jameis playing Bet Riley, somewhat indiscriminate professor of the calling and binding summoning demon area. He has an eye for detail and getting those papers out, and unfortunately has to deal with all the students too, but they just sort of get in the way.
And Nick.
I am playing, hello, this is Logos, also known as Nick. I will be playing Galahad Mortis, a bald illusionist, mindbender mage. He has developed an unhealthy obsession with both a forbidden door and a student named Naomi. So, and yeah.
And Joshua.
I'm Joshua. I'm playing Solomon King, the super slick professor, also of calling, binding, and sealing away, who is morally fluid and loves his students because they feed his ego.
Also,
and his demonic packs.
Yes.
Nice. Before we have the recap, just something I want to put out there, as we do have a large number of players in this game. When your characters are not in the scene, refrain from saying anything unless your character is breaking into the scene. Editing that last episode was a nightmare.
Fair enough.
Yes. All right. So recap. What happened last session?
Vadis was able to lead the charge on exploding these students out of their time loop bubbles. There were five students. We found three of them with a known location for at least a fourth that is in Vegas. We are thinking of going there now. But we also found out a clue that they're all involved with a coffee bar that it seems to be behind the forbidden door. And that's a very succinct summary.
And don't forget the fact that someone decided to find these students that were on the campus via lots and lots of mini demon parrots and decided, I'll connect my mind to them. What? You guys want to connect too? So that all of us who weren't part of the mind-bending department suffered the horrors of connecting with 1,000 different minds.
I did not forget that. I was just immune to such an incident.
This called Wednesday on campus. Come on.
There was also the fact that we had lots and lots of poo. Which
is that?
Which actually, Pat Riley covered our butts on that one.
Yes, he put in a bit of paperwork. Predated for the correct date.
Did he?
Pat did. Whatever Pat may be. Anything else, guys?
The name of the coffee house is Starhucks.
I believe the three students was one in the cafeteria, one in the library, and I don't remember what the third was. The
Brand Sanders store. At the convenience store, yeah. That's why
I called convenience store. So also of note that there was a succubus summoned last time by our all-star, And it was the thing that found the student sitting in Vegas. Whenever the succubus tried to introduce himself, he was turned into some small statue, if I recall correctly, Bert.
Cube.
And we
a had succubus to... is a female demon.
It's an incubus.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I'm not of the summoning and calling school, so therefore minutia of the demons is a little lacking.
Good save.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's a demon and not a devil?
Once again, not my expertise.
It's a derelict.
So, it's one of those things that we have to be cautious whenever we deal with this thing, because apparently it has some way of messing around in our heads. And the students were invited into behind the forbidden door.
I believe they also had like a coin or something that would let them in, and we had three of them.
Yep.
And I think one copy of the flyer as well.
Yes.
Yes, I think so.
That all tracks. So let us go ahead and get started on Thursday. let's just pick up there. You guys had a couple of thoughts of either broaching the door or going to Vegas. So I think everyone is currently in the temporally adjoined rooms of Solomon King and who was it? Pat Riley?
Galahad.
Galahad. Okay, in Galahad, right.
Yeah.
So we'll take up there. That's where you guys currently are, trying to figure out what your next move is. Oh, and did you send the students to the health facility?
Or what actually, I believe a lot of us were injured to one degree or another, and yeah. I was going to be in the VIP hospital room that I had.
Let's take care of that real quick. Who else had to go to the hospital?
Me. I was going to go to I was going to risk the medical hospital.
All right. Let's start with Nick then. Nick, roll me plus nothing. So roll me 2d6.
All right. I did that not roll. All right. There we go. Nope.
Ooh, 5. Okay.
That kind of is a failure for the purposes of XP?
I'm going to say no in this case because this was a roll plus nothing. So
yeah, say
okay. So that people know what's going on here, this is the hospitality chart. Mm-hmm. On a miss, I choose at least one of the above options plus any consequence I dream up. Well, I am going to choose that you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're healed up.
Okay.
Consequence being, what hue is your skin tone now? Amongst the psychedelic spectrum,
let's go a bright blue, a bright blue.
Okay.
So both your eyes and your skin is blue.
Yep. I'm the blue man now.
Amazingly,
that's copyrighted.
Amazingly how the hospitality hospital, their cap wardrobe looks suspiciously like a Smurf cap as you are pushed along your way. This will last for an indeterminate amount of time. You will be a blue Smurf.
I am going to smile and nod as I have free health care. Hell yeah.
Yes. All right.
Your teeth are also blue.
Steven, go ahead and roll me plus nothing.
Aha!
7. All right. So you choose one. This is on page 30. You're fine, but you've got a strange cosmetic mutation. You're fine, but you owe someone a favor. You're fine, but you weren't discharged. You escaped instead, and the orderlies are after you. You're not fine. You escape instead. Okay, so you're going to
cannot hold Vadis the Indiscriminate! Out of my way! Boom!
In this session with orderlies chasing you about. They will come into play. And let's see, who else?
Seymour.
Seymour. Okay, Seymour. Roll plus nothing.
I really need to get that ability. Nope, fail.
You fail. I'm also going to say they did heal you, but in this case, it was actually done by a visiting health professional trying out some new cures, and your injuries required certain installation of hardware that he would like to monitor through the days and weeks it will take for the fixing to really, really take hold, you understand.
So you have
some embedded device in you that this visiting doctor wants to check up on.
Quick question, can they look like two Frankenstein bolts out of the side of his head?
And that sounds like an awesome idea, yes.
That just clashes so much with the cloak.
Well, I don't know if the cloak, it'd be right on target. Okay, so that was all the people that needed hospital care. You have been healed up. You can remove all boxes of hurt. Hopefully that was just one, because two would have taken you out of a scene.
I was going to say, there is only one box of hurt, I thought it
was you. No, you can have two, but once you take the second box, you're out of the scene, and someone will probably drag you to the hospital anyway after the scene. So there we go. Everyone's fine. We'll say we're meeting back up in King and Galahad's offices after that. So take it up there, guys.
The statue who is sitting in my office has also turned blue. Might be a little disconcerting to other people, might not. So,
Galahad, my good man, I may need to hide doubts, hunker down in your office for a little while. No need to be alarmed. There's nothing to be worried about at all.
Of course, Vladis, anything for you.
Again, it's Vladis. Otherwise, I may have to send you back to the hospital.
Oh, maybe I won't allow you to stay in my place.
Oh, I'm already here.
Here is such a relative term in the time space. Hey, are we going to Vegas, by the way?
I thought we were going to do that on the weekend. I thought we were going to go to the
we still have classes to teach. Damn it.
Yeah, it seems like it might be a good idea.
Why? Oh, free healthcare. That's why I work here. All right.
Well, let's put healthcare in great big quotation marks.
I look at his skin and go, great healthcare, large opportunity cost.
Well, I mean, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, as my economics teacher kept repeating endlessly.
You probably shouldn't have put his mind on loop then.
Well, you know, he shouldn't have looked at Naomi in that fashion. So, when are y'all ready to go down to the Forbidden Door? Also, we need to sneak down there. Also, we're not going to do it.
They won't look for me there. I mean, I will go.
I make sure to keep...
I'm ready right now.
Who all can go? I mean, we only have like 3 coins.
I mean, we don't know. Maybe the coin just opens the door.
Do you know how the Forbidden Door works?
It's forbidden. It's in the name. No.
I wonder if we could replicate these coins.
That seems like a horrific idea.
I like the idea. You know what? I know a minor demon counterfeiter.
I don't think.
Wait, counterfeiting. I
think you might turn the minor demon counterfeiter into a frog this time. Why don't we just try it?
That's his problem, not mine.
And see if it works.
I'm gonna make sure to. I'm gonna make sure to bring an escort.
It's a forbidden door. We don't want people to know we went through the door that is forbidden unto us.
I am protecting to make sure no one enters the forbidden door. That is why the zombies.
You keep saying these words. There's a weird pause whenever you say the door. I'm only hearing door. I don't know what other word you could be saying.
I've got a list of some demonic escorts too for you too, if you're interested.
Oh. Pat, so you ready to go?
I suppose, but
good. All right, so let's go through. We're not going through my office, and we're not tramping together as a group. I recommend that we go through the tunnels through demon summoning and binding, and then we go through the tunnels through, so that way we're less spotted.
Okay, I'll follow your lead.
The professor of mind bending, or whoever the lead of our department, he's a little weird. And I don't want him to know that I'm hanging out with you guys.
I just look at you and go, pot calling the kettle blue?
That's racist. You're racist against blue people? I'm the only blue person and you're racist against my race?
I meant you called him weird.
It's only you.
Yes.
I meant you're calling him weird.
Yes. Racist.
All right, let's go. Kind of thing.
I just look so confused. It's like, I'm not racist.
So Galahad suggested that people break up. Is this what's going on, or are you all going in one group?
I thought we were going in a group through the summoning.
We all break up, but we all follow each other. We have excellent rules. Same way.
We clap our hands, say break, and go in the same way.
Yep. That sounds likely.
We're going to go through the summoning and binding door, but not through my door, because I suspect my professor is spying on me.
All right. So you're getting into the steam tunnels then through.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Since you're all going as a group, you are going to risk danger with the adventuring move. So I'm going to have, who's leading this little expedition into the steam tunnels?
I will.
All right. Well, if you're leading, I'll have you roll. And then everyone else is helping.
Are we really?
This is why I wanted to
bring
role?
The zombies.
Yes. Yes.
This is why I wanted to bring the zombies.
Well, I actually have applied power. When you roll adventuring, roll plus sorcery instead of plus nothing. Because
you are not rolling. Yes, so you are not leading the expedition.
Yes.
All right. So go ahead and give me a roll.
Who?
And is everyone else actually trying to be stealthy here? Or
I will be as stealthy as the other people.
What's the stealthy thing?
More right, nonchalant than stealthy.
Yeah, I'm a fluorescent blue man. Okay. I am literally Dr. Manhattan.
All right, so Solomon King is neither helping nor hindering. Galahad is hurting.
Sweet.
Who else? Pat, how is Pat doing this?
What's the stealth you talk about?
Right, neither helping nor hurting. And so Marcus is leaving. Steven, are you helping or hurting?
Wait.
Doing nothing.
I'm not leading.
Oh, who's leading? Was that Steven?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy who actually gets the bonus to the roll.
Oh, okay. Okay. My mistake.
Yeah, I was saying I didn't want to lead because I don't have my zombies. Okay. I will attempt to remember what that one competent guy said when I actually had to do a stupid stealth mission, because yes, the overlord has to be the one who breaks in.
All right, trying to help, which actually makes it a flat. So go ahead, Steven. Have Vadis make us the roll here.
And don't
Nine, okay. Well, you can choose what you want, but I'm assuming you want what you're getting after, which is to get in undetected and get to the door. You'd not choose that, but that would be... Okay.
What are the other options? Is looking really cool one of them?
You don't get hurt, and you come out of it looking good, but you don't necessarily get what you want if you choose that, and you don't necessarily get hurt if you don't choose that.
You get whatever it is you were after. Go with that one.
All right.
Okay, fine. But what I did was, to get us all there sneaky-like, I set up a will-o'-the-kaboom. Much like a will-o'-the-wisp, but it lets off little explosions every now and then, and I sent it the opposite way.
Right, making explosions in the steam tunnels, which may or may not contain noxious gas. That will definitely...
Small explosions.
Off your track, yes. Okay, so you find yourselves, as far as you know, unhindered and unseen, and standing in front of the forbidden door. The forbidden door has...
I breathe on my nails and buff them on my coat like I'm awesome, because I am.
The forbidden door is an old wooden affair, thick, bound in iron and copper. It has a large copper clad door handle. It has what looks to be like a keyhole, but it actually looks more just like a slot.
I put the coin in the slot.
All right. So you put one of the coins you found into the slot. All right. There is almost a gonging sound that reverberates from the door.
I open the door.
Grasping the handle. You don't die. And the door opens.
I see if I can retrieve my coin.
The coin is gone. It is just not where it was. Looking on the other side of the door, there doesn't seem to be any slot. There actually doesn't seem to be any hole where the coin would have come through. The coin is merely gone.
Okay, well, I enter holding the door up. Actually, I hold the door open being a gentleman, letting everyone in first. Mm-hmm.
It is a marbled stone floor that you see on the other side, well lit with lots of brass and glass, fancy types of electrical lighting. At the far end of the hallway, there is a blue-flecked stone booth with a very modern-looking coffee apparatus on top, with several baristas that are slinging various coffees with esoteric names like Vente and whatever other coffee slang there is. I'm not a coffee drinker. People around standing in line for coffee. There are several workers cleaning up, smiling, wishing everybody a good day. Hey, those of you that actually looked to see which of the staff went missing over spring break, some of them seem to be doing menial task work here, cleaning.
Oh, good. Counters, that was me.
Cleaning floors. Yes.
Huh. None of my staff disappeared, so I didn't care.
Talking staff, not students, right?
I want to see, before I go into this room, I want to look, if you get me, Bert.
Right, let's see what the fall under.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll charge in like a bull in a china shop.
Well, you can charge in while he looks.
Yeah, I'm walking in to see what's on the menu there, coffee wise.
Oh my god. You need just a second.
My divinities. Oh my dean.
I combat roll in with agility far belying my size and rotundity and come up with fireballs in both hands, pointed at a hapless barista, and order a triple venti, half sweet, non-fat caramel macchiato.
Does that have enough jargon for you, Bert?
Yeah, that'll work. Okay, so Nick, are you casting a spell to true see, or are you trying to tell the secret here?
I mean, if it's worth it, yes, I will cast the spell, because casting spells, you know.
Sure. We're going to handle Nick first, as he was the first one to speak up. So go ahead, Nick, cast us a spell.
Spell is cast. 8, I succeed. Choose one of the two.
Choose two,
I'm sorry. Oh, gosh. I'm going to go with the magic is short-lived or otherwise temporary, and the magic affects far more than you intended.
Okay, so you bring upon the spell of true sight, and what you're seeing in front of you is still a coffee shop, but the people that are working it look very different. Bubbly, bright redhead behind the counter slinging coffee right now is a transparent wraith-like being chained to the floor by some kind of ethereal thread. The other employees about also look kind of wan and gray, as if their life is being sucked out of them. Also leg chained with some ethereal tether to the very floor of the establishment. The cups of, quote, coffee are bubbling over with a kind of a bilious purple fumes that are coming out of the top. And then it lasted briefly, so it was just a flicker. Mm-hmm. And see, it affects more than you have noticed. Let's see.
Can I just, like, everybody see this? So that way.
No, that would be beneficial.
They know that you saw them.
Yes. So it switches to the viewpoint of one of the staff, and you for a moment there blaze brilliantly as you have broken through their illusion, and then they see that you have seen through. One of the staff who is mopping a floor starts to mop towards you, evil intent glinting as his eye. all right, who rolled into the coffee shop? That sounded like something Vadis would do.
Solomon as well.
Okay. Solomon more sauntered up to the line, I take it.
He walked up casually, like stroking his chin, looking at the big blackboard behind the counter, trying to see, like, what looks good.
Yes.
Vadis is impatient for his pumpkin coffee spice.
So pumpkin spice is all over the board. Yes, the barista acknowledges your command of the coffee language and prepares for you to your exact criteria.
Faster! Before I need a keto coffee with 2 slabs of butter, no sugar at all, hazelnut flavor, blend it and pour it back into the cup before you have to clean out the entire equipment to account for the butter I just had you put in something you weren't supposed to. Yes, that happened to me.
She looks, she keeps up with you exactly and makes exactly the perfect brew for you as she puts it aside. Solomon, you are in line with a lot of students who are texting on devices, talking about classes. A couple of them give you the tip like, hey, Mr. Solomon, or Mr. Keith.
Would you say that ring any bells, or do they seem to be weirdly absent from our memory?
As I said, staff disappeared during spring break. They didn't disappear from memory. They were just generally disappeared. No one knows where they went. Anyone who actually looked at the list of the staff members that were missing, and I think that was only
me,
Galahad, noticed.
I was the only one who cares about other people. Why are y'all so messed up?
I only cared about my missing teaching assistant, which I would probably know by sight. But absolutely not by name.
There are concerned about the students.
Yes, there are students in line who some of you recognize. One of them obviously is in Mr. King's class. And you know exactly who they are. No sense of them being out of time, as it were.
Hey, Jaden, how'd you hear about this place?
Oh, campus flyer. He roots around in the back pocket and pulls out one of the flyers like you have seen earlier.
Who's been passing these up?
I don't know. I just got it in my mailbox one day, last week sometime. Yeah, it's they don't even charge you. It just goes right onto your meal card. Dad pays for it.
Ah, nice. And you got one? Have to use a coin to get in here too?
He actually at the bottom of his thing, you can see like where there is a little piece of glue, you know,
like rubber cemented on. Off.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, it came with the flyer.
Huh.
Yeah, they say once you come in, though, they give you a club card. You don't need the coin anymore to get in.
Nice. You know who runs this place?
No, it doesn't really say. I figured it's got to be part of the cafeteria services, right?
I don't know about that. Your first time here?
Oh yeah.
What's good?
I don't know yet. My turn. He steps up and he looks around and says, can I have how about a caramel macchiato, full milk, grande size? And woman starts whipping it up. There's like 2 baristas up here, and there's one guy that's bringing out clean glasses and clean cups. The place is really, it's got this really nice clean feeling, lots of brass and glass everywhere. They're playing adult contemporary on the sound system, interspersed with some slow jazz. There are some people in skinny ties and ironic facial hair working on computers and laptops in the corners. Looks like any other coffee shop you've ever walked into in your life.
It's pretty accurate.
Jaden gets his cup, sips it, and says, hey, it's pretty good, Mr. King. I'm gonna go and get my homework done.
It's Professor King, please.
Oh, of course, Professor. actually, I gotta get some homework done for your class.
Mr. King's my father, that no good lay about.
Gives you a big smile and he walks over and takes a seat, starts pulling out homework from his bag. Vadis, are you partaking of the coffee you've been given? It looks brewed exactly to your specifications.
No, I walk over to Galahad Mortis and start with grandiloquence.
Before you get to Galahad Mortis, one of the janitorial service seems to be cutting a path between you and Galahad, mopping furiously as he is approaching Galahad.
I tell him, hey, janitor, you need to make sure you put up a little wet floor sign, otherwise you can be sued.
He reaches into the bucket, a little thing on the side, pulls out one of these little triangles, flips it behind him. It arcs in the air, lands exactly Caltrop's side, as it should, with the beware wet floor, walk at your own peril sign. As he again takes up the mop and starts edging his way towards Galahad Mortis.
Actually, I think I'm probably still next to Galahad.
that's fine.
Because I'm at the door and he probably just looked in.
What was Pat doing?
Sort of going and looking around and probably joining the queue.
Okay. Yeah, there's quite a few students in here. You're counting maybe Baker's dozen students in line along with your party. Okay. Galahad, the
yes.
The mop is looking straight as your eyes. He's mopping furiously towards you, intent on possibly wiping you out of existence.
I will at, we'll say, hold. Are you the master or the slave here?
I seem to have a bit of dirt on my floor, as he takes the mop, slings it in his bucket, and charges at you.
I will step out of the way.
Okay. You're courting some harm here, so go adventuring. Oh. Yes.
No.
Good luck.
No.
You're plus nothing.
Yes, I know. I am aware. Well, there's get a second failure of tonight. Yay.
All right. So what all of you that see gives you an is XP. The janitor, yep, mark XP. The janitor has knocked Galahad Mortis down and is furiously scrubbing his mop back and forth over Galahad's face, drowning him in soapy, sudsy, dirty water as he's stomping on his chest. Take a harm there, Galahad.
Yay.
As he's yelling out, out damn spot, out!
Well, at least he has taste.
I don't think you should be assaulting your customers. That's going to give you a lawsuit.
Thank you for not helping me.
Yes.
You look like you can you can handle yourself, can't you, Galahad?
Other than the suffocation that the mop and water is having on your face, you are actually feeling yourself being erased from the time continuum.
Now, this is an individual that got in the way of me and what I was about to do, is it not?
Yes, it is.
I try to make sure I'm not within the range of the indiscriminate.
Wise move there. As I say, hey, Macbeth! And then I just explode him.
sure.
Lay on, Macduff!
Make some magic.
This just a magic roll?
Yeah. Sorcery, yes.
It's not you he's attacking, so you're not courting any kind of harm.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, my hands were full with two drinks, so I just explode everybody.
No, it doesn't work if you fail. There's no particular downside to it. Yeah, 7 to 9, you choose 2, but there's no downside for just failing. You do mark experience.
It's like, curses, my hands are full. How can I explode with the power of the cosmos when I have coffee in my hands. Quick, students, relieve me of this burden.
What were you going to say, Joshua?
I was going to say, when any of us fail a roll, MC is more than welcome to hard move on us. Yeah. That said, when I see my compatriot getting erased out there, I'm going to go up to that janitor and give him a good talking to.
Okay. So have you ordered yet?
I'll leave my spot in line once I see. Okay. I'm assuming that's fairly obvious and there's some fracas going on.
All right. So the fallout of failing that is, yes, I'm going to institute a hard move here where the staff now that you have this intention in mind here, the staff becomes very visible to you just as Galahad saw them. Pale imitations of what they were. They're all tethered to the floor with these silver cords. The baristas in particular look ghastly. They're translucent, long hair, long fingers tipped in claws, and they all seem to have drawn, you have all drawn their attentions. All right, so Galahad is still getting rubbed out on the floor, so you're going to talk sternly at him, Solomon.
Does that include me?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, their gaze is brought upon you, but no one is in direct harm at the moment other than
Galahad. While he's doing whatever he is to save, I'm going to try and summon my undead minions to me via spell work.
Okay. All right, so Solomon, what are you trying to do?
I'm walking up to him, just like shouting, waving my arms, like, "Hey, pal! You call that customer service? You don't just erase your customers. That's bad business. Haven't you ever taken even the most basic, simple thing of workman,
customer service?
Customer service.
That sounds like scathe.
It is scathing." He doesn't count as a student or a TA, does he?
He does not.
All right, I don't have an advantage, but I still got charisma, so. There's a 10.
Wow. All
right.
Scathe. Cringe or cower, flee your present, or give you something they think you want.
He flees your presence. And you hear him shouting, "No, I'm in transgression of employee code number 14. Ah!"
You'll be hearing from your manager about this.
You pick up the mop. Galahad stops drowning.
Ah! Sweet air, how I miss thee.
Now everything has kind of gone silent as all of the crew of the coffee shop is staring at you. People in line have kind of noticed that something's going on as well as they kind of all look around to see what may be amiss, taking earbuds out of their ears.
Me, my minions. Good thing I made sure to always make sure they can come to me.
All right, so how do you summon them?
Like to do something.
Hold on. Let's let him.
Via the intimate connection between me and them through the connection of the master who created them, etc., using spell work and simple items I prepared beforehand to always have my minions.
Okay, you can go ahead and cast this, but I'm going to say that because the door is specifically designed to only let certain people in, this is going to be more difficult than normal.
And I've kept the door open the entire time.
You could not have kept the door open the entire time.
Went in.
Yeah, yes. You did. Because Galahad stepped forward. You said you were next to Galahad, so...
Oh, okay. I said I was near, because I figured...
You had to walk down the hall to get to the...
Oh, okay. Now I'm misunderstanding how this place was designed. I thought it was literally open the door and we're in there.
No. Hallway...
Okay. Yep. That makes more sense. So am I at a penalty or?
Yes, you're doing it at disadvantage.
Okay, disadvantage is roll 3, take the low. Okay, I have that set up. Nope, I fail.
Yep. Yes. Also, trying to activate more magic within the sacred confines of the coffee house is really enraging the staff now. The barista is now double fisting two scalding carafes of hot milk. The other employees are coming at you, brandishing brochures, smocks, and brooms as they close in upon the party.
Okay.
Someone had said, hold on, someone had said they wanted to do something before. Who had just said something before?
That was me.
Okay, yes.
I hand Galahad Mortis one of the beverages that I picked up and said, "Dear Galahad, that was quite an undertaking you suffered through. Here, take this, relieve some of your pressure, and allow my hands to be free to do combat with these ne'er-do-wells." And I'm going to do grandiloquence. When I say a lot, to use a lot of words to say nothing, roll charisma. And if I succeed, there, it's all written there. Compulsion. When I use a lot of words to say absolutely nothing, roll plus charisma. On a hit, whoever you're talking to, in this case Galahad, will grant you a small concession or favor right now. But later they will realize you tricked them. On a plus 10, which I got, they'll do you a big favor instead of a small one, and they won't realize they've been tricked.
I will let you guys roleplay this out, but typically you cannot do these against players. It specifically says you can't use social things against players. But I'll allow you guys to roleplay that out if he's up for it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, all right, go for it.
Laying down on the ground, I will take the coffee.
And drink it.
No.
Here, drink this.
No. No. Right, I am not drinking coffee.
What? Why not? It's good stuff. Triple vintage caramel macchiato.
No. You're crazy. This is a machine.
Yes.
To suck the souls out of people. I'm not drinking a quote-unquote coffee that comes from a soul-destroying machine. I'm not having...
What happens when you feed back the... So what would happen if you feed the soul-sucking coffee back into the machine? And I glance pointedly at the evil-looking baristas that are bearing down on us.
Yeah, so at this point, so you need to grant him a small concession, which need not have been drinking the coffee.
I take the coffee out of his hand as my small concession.
And you won't realize you've been tricked because I actually rolled an 11.
Yes.
Yes, I sure.
You're now holding, actually make that you're holding both coffees because okay, I need my hands for explosions.
On the floor, I am holding both coffees.
I'll help you up.
And confused. Right.
I'll help you up since my spell failed.
Pat hasn't really done much other than stand in the background. Is Pat doing anything as he's seeing the staff bear down upon the party?
I'm not sure entirely what's going on. Because is that what's happening? Is the entire staff come together against the...
Yeah, the staff seems to be poised and very intent on the party, and they are approaching, kind of ignoring the students around them. To you, they still look perfectly normal. Barista's coming forward with two scalding cups or carafes of scalding milk.
I'm going to take out my disorganizer mark four and sort of state early. This calls for a very bad Yelp review.
Secret hidden coffee shop, one star.
I look at
terrible location.
Now I'm thinking about it. I look at my phone. Do I have signal?
You do.
Yeah, because the students were on their phones before. So.
Oh yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. They're students, clearly uneducated.
Okay, I have to ask the really obvious question. What happens when I bring up the maps function on my phone? Where does it say I am?
In the steam tunnels. Right where you're supposed to be.
I'm going to point the broom threateningly at the approaching staff and I demand to see the manager.
The mop, you mean? Yes.
Oh, the mop, yes. Sorry.
Yes.
Hey, what's the mop? It's just a broom that's wet, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're demanding to see the manager. Actually, the barista stops at that. And they seem to be communicating with one another in some strange coffee speak.
Strange coffee. Is that the Java language?
Yes, it's the language of Java.
But Arabica beans.
Barista goes back to the coffee counter, puts down one of the carafes, and smacks a bell. Ding! It rings out clear. And from the back, a door opens, and Nimue steps out. Dressed immaculately.
The student I am obsessed with.
Yes.
Yes, the one you were calling Naomi by mistake.
Whatever.
Oh, Professor Galahad. And she comes out, all smiles, all cheers. Now, staff, go back to serving these students. There's quite a line here. It's all good. Someone please clean up this mess, please. And where did Fred go? They point to where Fred ran down the hall. Ah, good help. So hard to find. And she comes up, extends a hand to Galahad. Now that you have one free since Mortimer took one of the coffee cups.
I will gently kiss it. Look, she's man, awesome. I'm Galahad. I'm from a different time zone.
What brings you here, Galahad, and your friends? Oh, Professor King?
Perhaps. Gattis?
Pat? She nods. Say more.
I nod as if I know who this person is, other than by reputation.
Perhaps this is something that we could speak in a more private venue.
Oh, sure, here. And she starts walking off to one of the corner booths, and the students scatter. Please, have a seat, one and all. Can I get you a refreshing beverage?
No, I tried to give him one. He's clearly ungrateful.
Ah, well.
I don't want to drink a purple fluid. I don't know what it is.
He claimed he had... He made claims of soul-sucking machinery, clearly slanderous.
Oh, no, soul-sucking, Galahad. Soul-sucking, no, time-sucking.
Ah.
Pardon. Beth, a couple of regular coffees over here, please. Yes, everyone, regular coffee?
Cream, I'm not a coffee drinker.
Oh, tea? We have tea.
I'm fine for now. No, thank very good. You.
What is your food service like?
Oh, we have scones and biscuits and
from the time sucking voice.
Galahad, this is a student of yours?
I mean, yeah.
And she
she's been in a couple of classes.
She smiles. Well, that'd
be a yes.
Sort of. I've been in your classes because I've been what do they call it? Observing.
Yeah.
I have been hired by the dean recently.
Yeah.
Here's Beth now. And she takes some coffees off the tray and some creams and sugar. She makes herself one. She drinks. Some scones come to the table as well. This is all perfectly fine, gentlemen. Gentle persons looking at Pat.
Battis has no reservations and partakes.
Nothing like a good cup of Joe. Smiles.
I'm not going to.
I don't react. I'm acting like I'm having flashbacks to one of the time of the Overlord where you had to be suspicious of everything you ate and drank because you were meeting with.
Mattis is already on his second cup.
Now, guy, it's perfectly fine. I wouldn't steal time from staff, only from the students. After all, it was part of the paperwork they signed upon entrance.
We all saw the faded soul shackled to the.
Yeah, what about the secondary staff? Don't they count?
No. They clearly signed all proper forms. So this is what they signed up for.
Let me see those forms.
Certainly. Beth, forms A4 through A5. Please. Yes.
I'm a bureaucratic guy. I'm going to go through these forms.
Yes. So there's There's a cover sheet for each of the missing staff, and a plethora of students. And, you know, just hand it to, I'm sure you'll find that each and every one of these are perfectly permissible under the legalities that were signed by student and staff upon entrance. Of course, you being professors, non-tenured, such removal of temporal essence from your beings is strictly prohibited.
I'm going to go through these with like the fine-tooth comb of a Faustian dealer and see if it's...
While you're doing that, why don't you go ahead and roll me some red tape?
Bureaucracy?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
11. Okay. Give me a second. Page.
Oh, so we'll be having the coffee and scones because I've had stuff prepared by demons before. This can't be any worse.
I'm sticking to the flask right now.
Keep the business neutral face. Just listen and pay attention. They'll say more if you stay quiet.
Okay. So you got an 11. That's pretty good. Yeah, it all seems to be in order. What this looking like is that an expansion to the university is in progress. In fact, the temporal school of correspondence and time stream maintenance has been groundbreaking, and they needed to pull a little bit of time essence to be able to get things set up and started. It seems like Nimue here is, in fact, a registered professor on staff.
There's a
to be, yet to be, has been, will be.
There's a Mage the Ascension joke to be made about correspondence school.
Yes, exactly.
Well, so this all seems to be in order, and it looks like it's sanctioned by the dean.
Well, actually, that part, Solomon, as you're looking at it, it's not actually been sanctioned by the dean. It's been sanctioned by the school, but not the dean.
Now, because this is a magical thing, I need to ask, the school as a living entity or the school as in like the board or something?
Well, looking at how things are signed here, it seems like the school as a living entity has decided a temporal college was necessary.
Huh. Well, that's a thing I wasn't quite sure of, though kind of suspected.
Dear Galahad, you know, it is surprisingly easy to perform mind magics when one is able to shift a perspective through all the different time streams and see what your reactions may or may not be. It becomes very easy to do that.
Yes. I start daydreaming about being able to do this, these two things together for a second, and then I snap back, go, wait.
Well, Mr. What? King, as you can see from the paperwork, it was necessary that we accumulate a certain amount of time essence for the school to accept the new college, for it to be to properly place itself in the time stream so that it will have always been here.
Well, yeah, so, sure.
So, and I assure you, the King students are left with a semblance of life. I mean, they can do things.
What happens when they come back out of being separate from the time stream?
Well, they will have lost a few years of life memory, and there is a little bit of fallback. People around them won't remember things about them here and there, but really they'll adjust. They're young, they spring back.
I mean, this all looks nice and neat and legal. I can't really find fault with it. I mean, I should probably let the dean know about it.
Do that, Mr. King. Not yet. The school isn't ready for the unveiling. As a matter of fact, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to take a little bit of time from you before you leave, just so that you don't remember this conversation. Nothing big. I won't alter anything large.
Yeah, I'm not good with that.
Well,
I have two questions.
Yes.
What is the mechanic through which you are stealing time from these students? Is it the coffee?
Well, the coffee stimulates the brain and highlights certain areas that we know that we can safely take the time energies from, coffee being a great stimulant for this.
And the other, and I'm looking to King for the confirmation on this, taking from the staff is, teaching staff is strictly prohibited?
From the teaching staff, yes, but you will find in those folders that all the staff that we've taken here have, on the record, at least 2 demerits. And as you will see, under the paperwork they signed, 2 demerits allows us to take certain restitution, usually in the form of pay, but not always, from the offending staff.
Well, she's right there.
So if I drink the coffee, does that exceed the amount she's allowed to take?
Oh, well, this coffee is just coffee.
And I grab one of the 2 drinks that I had handed to Galahad, who one was handed to...
I give you the one, if you're Mortimer. Looking, I give you the one I had.
I chug them both.
She looks at you aghast for a moment, and then she takes out like an iPad-like device, and she points the camera at you, and kind of actually, Solomon, you're in the perfect position to see. It kind of shows this ghosted-out image of Vadis. It shows the coffee going through his system, highlighting points of his brain. It's like, huh, interesting. If he was wiped completely from the timeline, no one would care.
That is so sad. I'd care, Vadis.
But I teach explosions like the Big Bang, the very magic of creation.
She looks at her iPad and then kind of smirks at you and Solomon, and she says, "No, no, you wouldn't."
That might be true.
I'm not sure what
you wish to accomplish there, Vadis. I mean, as I said, the coffee only highlights the amount of time that I can safely take from a person. In your case, all of it. It seems like I could, but I'm not going to, so your ploy, whatever it might be, simply has failed.
Can I also see that?
What is it you want to see? Sorry.
The areas that are being highlighted.
Sure. She flips the camera so that you've got the front-facing camera and you can see the iPad. It is showing 100% of your life essence can safely be taken as your effects on the time stream are null.
I protest my insignificance.
Dear, time is never wrong. I'm sorry.
It's gonna be. Just wait and see.
Well, the problem is that the program, you have to think in the right perspective. We're all insignificant compared to the Dean.
Yeah, she actually shudders a little bit. You say that. Yes, yeah. The school, of course, once the program is finished, we will have always existed. And, of course, the Dean will know about it then because we would have always existed.
Is there a number to text the Dean? Can I, like, do that underneath the table?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to send an email myself.
Oh, you can do whatever you want to do. Yeah, sure. You guys have direct emails to the Dean. You probably have a phone number to a secretary, but not directly.
I will email the Dean's office exactly what's going on.
So the students that had the temporal problems, they were intentional or side effect? Or I'm not quite following on that.
Oh, well, intentional. I mean, we don't want to deprive them of their lives. I mean, eventually the time loop will end and they will go right back to existing however they can eke out a new existence. If they happen to remember being students here, then more the better, they can rejoin their classes.
I mean, they signed the contract, they did it voluntary, so you know.
Yes, and I assure you we picked only the most undesirable students or unlikely to actually graduate.
I think back to Heidler's grades.
Oh, no, you misunderstand, Pat. Their parents are still paying for this, for the college institution. I mean, we wouldn't have overlooked that small bit.
I think back to Barton Heidler's grades. Was he likely to graduate?
He was kind of a wishy-washy student. If he applied himself, he might have had potential, but he didn't look to be on that path.
Hopefully this experience will change him.
Oh, well, it has most certainly changed him. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if those orderlies had found me yet.
Switch scenes as the orderlies are pounding on the forbidden door. okay, so Pat, you were about to say something.
Yeah, it's just tricky with the system we've set up. If the fireside department isn't raising any complaints about something, does that mean that there's no problems for them to raise? As in, they would have foreseen their students being interacted with this, and they would have been fine with it. They would have foreseen the coming about of the time, school having always been here.
Yeah, but you can only have first order paradoxes if you have second order paradoxes. Anyways, so.
But wouldn't they have also foreseen us being interacting with this thing and therefore maybe decided not to use their resources because of our interactions?
Are you guys discussing this at the table, or are you discussing amongst yourselves?
Unless Pat Riley's saying it out loud, I'd be kind of like, if this is out loud, I'd discuss it out loud, but no otherwise.
I'm just trying to figure out.
We'll say it is out loud because I said it, so
okay.
Right now. All right.
Well, that is the certain paradox of time. Time branches in many ways, and sometimes dreams become true, and some become true in alternate universes. Of course, I foresaw the meddling of some professors, actually some students now and then, too. There was a meddling dog once.
But let me guess, you would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for him?
In that particular time stream, I killed the dog and ate him.
Was it a talking dog?
That seems sensible.
This woman is becoming more attractive to me by the second. But, I mean.
The easier matter for all of us would have just been to take time from the demons, because what the hell?
They are time forever.
Actually, let me pause for a second. Okay, Solomon, you said you were texting something to the dean? Or writing an email?
I think two of us. I was writing an email, and was it Galahad was texting?
Mortimer was also emailing.
Okay, so Solomon, what is it that you are texting or emailing specifically?
Dearest Dean, just thought you should know that I've turned word that the school, capital S, has been establishing a school of temporal correspondence. Wasn't aware if you knew this, according from information I have, you have not been informed yet. But as a team player, I thought I would engage you, touch base with you on this.
Okay. Next person who texted, what did you text?
I emailed the dean saying, dear the dean, I am not aware of you having authorized this, as this has been apparently authorized by the school. I put that in caps. And so I wanted to keep you informed just in case I'd accidentally stumbled upon this. And since I may forget all of this due to the person potentially threatening to take time away from me, see summary of what's happening below. And then I just write like the quick paragraph summary and send it from Seymour or something, Mortimer the Third, Life and Death Department.
Did anyone else send a message?
The dean doesn't like me, so I don't get anywhere near the dean if I can help it.
Okay. Those of you that sent a message get a text reply back, brief and to the point, saying, I know all things, stall.
I know all things, stall?
Question right. For you, Nemu. Now, I've caused a lot of kaboom in my time, so what I'm trying to figure out is, erasing me from the timeline, does that retroactively fix the things I've kaboomed?
Well, no, it doesn't, in fact. Something else will eventually have kaboomed them, just not you. And again, Vadis, I'm not going to erase you from the timeline. I'm merely pointing out that you being erased from the timeline will make an insignificant amount of difference to the world.
question.
You have set me upon the new course of blowing up more things.
No, no. I want to go back to the alternate timelines. Were there any alternate timelines where I was actually successful in my other career?
Oh, yes, yes.
Can you tell me one of those?
No.
Why not? I like to dream of them.
I'm afraid that the information that can be temporally gained like this is best only used in the hands of those properly educated in the advances of temporal sciences, which, of course, since we do not yet exist, but we will and shall always, you could not have yet learned these things.
But I've already retired from the evil overlord business. How would knowing other possibilities? They would be the equivalent of a story to me. A story that has more personal references.
She just kind of rubs her chin as she says, maybe say you've retired.
No, unfortunately I have. The only thing I've got left are the zombies. I don't even know what happened to the family butler. I've been looking for him.
Yes, don't look for him anymore. He might have had an accident. Don't worry about it too much. Explosions happen to the best of us. Trust
you,
me.
Unfortunately, you could not kill him, even with explosions. I know this. But actually, I have a question for you. This is more, I don't know if you could, this falls into the temporal information, but is my grandfather actually dead or is he alive and faking it? Because we were never sure.
Again, you know, I just can't divulge temporal information.
What did she cough? I actually missed that, Bert.
Faking.
I'm like, okay, thank you. We'll have to continue trying to find the definitive information one way or the other.
Well,
maybe one of these. And yeah, I'm just wondering now of how many of the branching timelines from this point do I just start blowing everything up?
Oh,
I feel slighted somehow.
It's very significant, but if it weren't you, it would be someone else. Thus the insignificance. There's always explosions, apparently, on this campus.
It is the power of creation. So
it
very
has been wonderful.
Actually,
Speaking to you as peers. She's just talking over you.
Why were you observing Galahad Mortis? Why him? There are better teachers and there are worse teachers to observe. I understand that, but why specifically him? I mean,
he's important to the timeline, of course.
Okay,
but really, this has been interesting, but I'm afraid...
I have a question.
How is he important to the timeline?
Now that would be telling. Go ahead, Solomon.
No, that's not telling. You're going to remove our memory of this anyway.
On a different track, that pan of blondies there in the food rack, are those homemade right here?
Oh, of course. We make everything fresh daily.
Really? Do you? Do you make them? So you're like oldest family recipe?
Well, they are a family recipe, I must say.
Oh, man. Are they gluten or vegan or anything like that?
We have both.
Oh,
and
my God.
Full fat varieties. Butter, actually, used.
Are we going to be able to get a card? Or club card?
Oh, sure.
Because you know,
he pulls out a couple of cards, key ring cards, and displays them on the table. Not that you'll remember any of these special benefits, but again, I assure you, if you do eat or dine here, no time will be taken from you.
Spinach wraps, those are bought, those are shipped in, right? Those are
no, made. No. I have a Greek student in the back.
No.
All right. Well,
so
I remember seeing you.
Oh, Mortis, we're not done. We're far from done.
Oh.
She gives that, she doesn't say that in like a there's going to be pain sort of way, in a genuinely affectionate sort of way. But yes, you all are sounding like you are attempting to stall. Mm-hmm. So,
charisma?
Schmooze.
Please, someone who's better at it, please attempt this.
Well, so you're all kind of doing this as a group. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead. Everybody can go ahead and roll on their own.
Oh, well, this is going to end badly.
Does she count as a student?
No, Actually, she's clarified. She was never a student.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. Yep.
Does that count as a failure for XP point purposes?
Yes, Blam. It does.
Well, then I've got my fifth, finally. Because I fail a lot.
So both,
wow.
Both myself and Mr. King super succeed.
Yeah.
But
the Pat roll?
Yeah.
But there was something I was going to want to be trying to do, which I would probably interact with in some other way than schmoozing. I don't know if schmoozing was out.
Well, what does Pat want to do? Everyone else is obviously trying to stall. What are you doing?
I want to summon a demon, get it to drink one of the coffees, and see what his skin says about that. I want to know what the effect of this coffee is on the demons in the time, because that sounds like an interesting thing to publish on.
Sure. Since it's not important to the scene, you can do that without rolling. Okay. What is the demon you summon?
It's a fairly minor one. Actually, I know what the name of it is. I just need to look.
I take that back. You do attempt to summon a demon. I'm not going to have you roll on it, but it doesn't happen. There actually is a strong magic on the door that doesn't allow things to cross through the door. Okay, so Solomon and Galahad, you have convincing things that made her interested in sitting back down. Solomon talking about the wonderful food that is here, made on premises, all locally sourced, which isn't difficult when you have teleporting doorways to all of the...
All the time.
Yeah, and all of time, yes.
Yeah.
Now I'm imagining like there's like one little pastry set that's genuine medieval pastry from 14th century England.
Yep. And I am talking probably about her most interesting subject, her.
And as you do succeed in getting her to talk more about herself, in through the hallway walks, it stands at the haunches about 4 feet tall. It looks like a bristled black boar with a faint bit of smoke coming off of its body as it wanders in to the coffee shop. Shortly behind it, a few steps behind, is the dean. They both take seats in a corner booth, the boar seeming even on its four-leggedness able to sit. They both order coffee, and they seem to be deeply engaged in conversation.
What's the school mascot?
A smoking pig.
Yeah, of course it is.
I think I understand, actually.
Do you? I'm confused.
Nimue stands up and says, we have some very important guests. Pardon me, I should bust this table myself. And she goes and prepares, brings out some scones and biscuits and coffee for the two newest.
Curious where this goes.
The coffee shop.
Hey, Solomon, can you get a demon in here?
I can try.
I guess it.
If you want to roll for it, you can at disadvantage. But again, the magic of the door is keeping anyone uninvited.
So, I will try and summon Rogagog, the coffee hound of hell.
So are you good enough to get a demon in here? Huh?
That's a total of six, so no.
No. Okay. As it was not important to the unless Pat has something he's aiming for, that's not worth the experience. But
I wanted to get a demon. Partly, I wanted to show Solomon up a bit.
Some powerful anti-magic wards in here.
Yeah, just even having play on the old jealousy bit that he's got picked for. Yeah, you can't do it either. Yeah, that's something the great Solomon can't do. Yeah.
I'm going to wander over to the dean's table. And by wander, I mean go with force.
Okay. Oh, my God.
You come just in the vicinity, and a very skeletal-looking finger sticks out of the bottom of the Deem's robes, and he points to a chair at a table next to him, and he says, "Sit!"
I will do so.
And you all feel the eyes of the Dean upon you, a sudden unspoken need to come and sit.
I go and sit.
Temporally insignificant, my behind, and I sit
down. Anyone else taste pennies?
Yeah.
Chocolate?
More sulfur for me.
I got chocolate this time, which is
I good. Smell smoke, but that's typical.
Yes, you do actually smoke, smell bacon in the air. The pig turns his head towards all of you as you sit and gives you a curt nod.
I nod respectfully, not wanting to anchor what definitely looks like the personification of the capital S school.
Oh. I have a feeling he's called Pork Roll, but the people in the south of New Jersey call him Taylor's Ham.
Poor taste. Poor taste, Mortimer. Poor taste, says the pig.
It wasn't Mortimer who said that voice. Joke.
Oh, sorry. Who was that? Your voices.
It was Vadis.
It's always Vadis. Don't blame Mortimer for something Vadis does.
He exploded, and threw his voice.
That's in poor taste, Vadis. Poor taste. Mind yourself. You are, after all, my guest here.
But you smell so delicious. Shush.
Yes, of course. That's part of my charm.
So, I'm confused. I don't like being confused, Dean.
It seems that the school had the desire to expand a bit without first informing me as to exactly how this was to happen, not being in the fiscal budget. Pig looks kind of sharply at the Dean as he has one of his pinky hooves in the air as he drinks his tea that was brought to him.
Okay.
Now, Dean, professors, let us be frank. You are all here at my leisure. This is, in fact, a personification of my will. It is my will that the students come and be taught magic of the world. And I felt for a while that a certain magic has been lacking. You know, your predecessor, Dean, and I had strong words on the subject, leading to the vacancy that you now fill.
I kind of lean over to Mortis. The Dean had a predecessor? I thought he was always here, the whispering.
I look at him like, what the fuck are you doing? and gaze back at the conversation.
The school, says the Dean, has yet to convince me the need of this. After all, meddling in time has been proven to have repercussions. Well, yes, but what better way to stave off repercussions and to teach the basics, the fundamentals, so that those meddling in it will at least have a grounding in what they are messing with. The pig looks exasperated. He turns to you and says, professors, weigh on this. We are stymied, it seems, and I would dearly love to not have such a mess as happened thousands of years ago. I was a younger, more brash pig then. The Dean seems to be good at his job now. Why don't you settle this for us?
I mean, I would agree.
Nimu here will act as an information source if you need further enlightenment. But please, discuss! Now the Dean and the pig are all, you feel the weight of their will upon all of you.
Well, I must protest that Nimu has stated that I am temporally insignificant when I channel the power of creation itself. The power which has established time itself, the same time she says I'm insignificant too.
And to be fair, I'm going to be pretty highly based in favor of Nemu. So I think our two votes cancel each other out.
Hey, Bert, would you say, this is just a question, because one of my moves is when you react to something ridiculous over the top, mind reading or appalling by rolling your eyes and getting on with things. Would this count in that category?
Sure.
Because one of the things I can get is, you know, something interesting and useful about what's happening, the MC will tell you what. I kind of just like feel this way. I'm like, kind of shrug. It's like, I've dealt with people who are probably slightly less powerful than them. So I'm just like nodding and rolling with it.
That makes sense. Give me a roll.
There's no roll. It's a move.
Oh, it's a move. Okay. In which case, I will give you this. This is deadly earnest. What you guys are going to decide can make the difference between everything as you know it being rended, destroyed, and put to flame or not.
As but we casual, wouldn't know it, though.
As casual as they are making it seem, this is a weighty, weighty thing.
Okay, so here, very simply, the truth is mages are always going to mess around with things that they don't know about. If we have a school that has the capability and the knowledge in order to stitch the wrongness in the universe and to teach and channel in the collective knowledge about how to actualize the future, I think it would be beneficial to the school. In addition, we also already have a school that views the future. So having one that messes with the past, I do not think that a deep alliance and workmanship in between the forcing school and the time traveling or the time bending school, I think will give us a protection against such flaws and follies in the past.
Checks and balances.
Pause, guys, for just a second. Nick, what you're doing by stating your case, it's not so much that you guys are going to make a decision between you, but you're going to present cases to convince them which way to go. So I make a schmooze roll for you.
Absolutely.
Plus charisma, unless you've got anything special. Tomorrow.
Yes, I have plus charisma. It's a 9. It's a pretty good success.
All right. So I'm just going to tally these things. Did someone want to speak next after Galahad's statement?
Well, I would say, if we have a time bending department, do we really need a fast seeing department? Because presumably the time bending department goes both ways, you know, forward and backwards. What would you still need a fast seeing department for?
Are you scathing or are you schmoozing?
One of my things is best in impurity, filial cult as part of the fasting department. So I'm wondering if I can use this to get in underneath here and cut her out.
Okay. So that sounds to me like you're making a scathing accusal. Would that be fair? Or are you trying to...
I don't know what the difference is, to be honest.
They're both charisma-based. It's just a matter of what the fallout's going to be for you after this goes on.
So really, I'm not seeing scathing as being one of the basic moves.
Scathe is.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
But I think scathe is like more at don't that worry about person.
He's making an argument here that's going to score a point for or against, but depending on the tone you use, there's going to be fallout later.
Yeah, and I'm confused what you're arguing for. Are you arguing for the time bending? Farsing?
Well, the question of what would happen to the farsing department if we have a time department. Would we still have a time farsing department or not?
Okay, wait, so are you asking the question then?
Yeah.
Okay, you're asking the question. Nimu answers and says, well, we are very, it may seem like we are very similar, and one of the reasons I was attending Mr. Professor Galahad's courses. However, they are two distinctly different disciplines. As manipulation of the time stream can, in fact, change how the future or past has moved, it will have some bearing upon your school, of course, because now you will see several branching choices that you've not seen before.
I'm not off far seeing myself. I'm of calling summoning and binding. My enemy is of Farseeing.
Well, I think that the two colleges would work hand in hand is what my sources tell me that this is what will happen. The two colleges will be very much interdisciplinary. All right, so with that, what are you going to argue for, Pat?
I'm going to be arguing against the time school then.
Okay.
On the basis of, we've already got a perfectly good school, the dean's already in position, everything's covered, we do have a fasting department, so if something's going to come up, they'll catch in and deal with it before it even becomes a problem. We don't need this extra school taking away funds. I mean, getting in the way of things and giving the fasting any kind of benefit bonus that they don't need because they should be getting out of our way. I mean, yes, we should be working together.
Okay, go ahead and make a plus charisma roll then.
Oh, it doesn't matter either way. don't have a charisma.
Yeah, so there you go. 1-4, 1 against. Who wants to speak up after Pat?
I will. Seymour will ask a question. Well, if there's another school, that'll mean there will have been more teachers. Is that going to cut into my Christmas bonus I had?
Well, Nimue answers. It will, of course, mean an influx of new students that have been, will have been, and are here, which will, of course, increase the budget for everyone. So, no, it won't affect it. If anything, it will increase it.
You know what's funny is I'm thinking about this in a meta bit. I'm like, I am a terrible convincer. Should I be going for the side I want to lose or the side I want to win?
With your character. That's always the way of play. You know that, Marcus.
yes, which is actually why I think I'll have to go with this one. Seymour, like, after he gets that answer, nods and goes, okay, I'll be honest, I'm taking this from the perspective of someone who has dealt with the study of death and all that is connected to it. And the fact that this has been a taboo subject for many years before it was finally legitimized and we've been allowed to study it, it seems that something like time travel would also be something that may follow that pattern, so to speak. It is taboo now, but will be no longer taboo. And there's also the concern whether we study it or not, someone else will study it. And it would be a concern if the US doesn't have, you know, countermeasures for other countries. So I say we will have had the department.
Okay, so roll for it. And this is a pro. It's plus charisma.
no, Bert, it's minus charisma.
Minus charisma in your case. Yes.
I have a question. Is that another experience point?
Yes, this is life in those circumstances.
Yes. What happens if you go over your 5 experience points?
Okay, so when you have marked 5, are you over 5?
I already marked 5.
You've marked 5. When you have marked 5, you can drop down to 4 and mark a square on your tenure track. Once you have marked off all of your tenure track, you have gotten tenure, which is what all professors are looking for. Or you may remove all 5, going back to 0 experience, and you may, recover all your burnout boxes, gain a teaching assistant, gain a move from your department playbook, gain a move from your role playbook, gain a move from a role or a department playbook which no player is using, improve an ability by +1 to a maximum of +2, gain an artifact with a minor magical effect, gain a second stuff choice from your department playbook, or improve one of your existing items. You don't have to choose right now.
As soon as you hit
5, you make that choice, you go to 0,
okay,
or you go to 4.
I will have already removed them all, and this will be box number 1 again.
Okay, very good. All right, so he persuades no one. Things become stymied still. And does anyone else want to speak up?
Solomon. Oh, man, a lot of good points here. I mean, the dean thinks it's a good idea, and, you know, the dean knows what he's doing. We got the far-seeing department act as a check and balance against any temporal.
I'm sorry, Solomon. Point in fact, this, the dean is against it. The school wants it.
Oh, the dean's against. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then forget that whole point. the far-seeing work as a check and balance against the any paradox, whatnot. More money's always nice. And a lot of opportunities for research papers. But
I'm nodding along as he's listing the good points, and then I start to look at him.
Like, but the dean thinks it's a bad idea, and the dean ain't steered us wrong yet. So I'm gonna have to give it a big old nay.
Mmm.
Give us a roll.
Because Solomon knows where his bread is buttered.
No.
What does that even mean?
Solomon. Sign with the dean. That's what it means.
Dean signs the checks.
No.
Okay. Yep. Partial success.
Right. Damn it. Okay. Yeah. So now it's 2-4, one against. All right, Vadis. If you want to plead a case, or you can abstain.
Now, it has been brought to my attention that I am temporally insignificant, which, from how she couched it, is just injurious to my ego. And that's all it is, because, as she explained, every action and explosion I would have caused would have happened regardless and been done by somebody else. Now, what that tells me is not that I am insignificant, but that I am wholly important to the timeline. Now, you may ask what this has to do with the temporal skill in general, and I will explain. You see, if my actions as a conduit to the power of creation, that is the Big Bang explosion itself, is insignificant, then they would not happen without my presence. But they happen regardless of my involvement or not. I am merely the conduit. So even if she were to remove the conduit, and my actions and results of my being present in a timeline were to maintain themselves regardless of me personally being there, that tells me the temporal school actually has no power. Against me personally, yes, but onto the bigger, grander scale of the time itself, it's powerless, because every action it aims to change still happens, and therefore it is pointless to even try.
What did you just say?
I think he said one of the most. I'm trying to figure out.
I'm not sure either.
Seymour looks at him and thinks, Vadis, either you said one of the most insightful things or one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, and I'm not sure what which.
I stand up and applaud because that's some grade A scurrilous bullshit.
Give us a roll. Let's see what the two powers that be think.
Please let us roll it out of the park.
So nope. After you've said there's no take back roll. There's nothing that you can do modify a roll after the fact. But as Solomon stands up and does and claps for your for your rolling BS, Nemu side glances at you and mouths the word insignificant.
Even in this argument, you're insignificant.
Damn it!
So I gotta ask: is that enough of a blow to Vadis to warrant you taking a check in
burnout?
Burnout, yeah.
And there's no way I can roll with advantage or anything like that.
Nope.
Yes, I would take a burnout, but also mark experience, right?
Yes, exactly. Well, it is decided then.
Damn it.
the dean says, and you can't see his face. His face is always in shadows. Sometimes a red glimmer of eyes can be seen, but you can feel the smug smile behind the cowl. And the school finishes his tea. He says, "Yes, well, we'll revisit this again in another 1,000 years."
Arr!
He stands and says, "Professors, it has been a pleasure. I'm sure you will serve me faithfully."
Of course.
I tried to.
Hearing this result, Vadis thinks it's his argument that turned the tide.
No, you know better. You know. That's the purpose of the burnout. You know.
No, he has personal doubts, but he knows that he turned the tide.
So the dean stands and looks over at Nemu and says, "Clean this mess." Walks out. Nemu looks very dejected and says, "Very well."
No!
"It would have been a pleasure to work beside you, Galahad. Unfortunately, come Monday morning, I'll simply be another one of your students."
But.
One last coffee, folks, before I shut things down. And
hey, what's going to happen to the students that are currently under the temporal whammy there?
Well, their temporal essences will be returned. They may lose a few hours of their spring break, but other than that, they'll be perfectly fine.
I guess we don't got to go to Vegas this weekend. Who wants to go to Reno?
I go, wait a minute. Does that mean that it won't be counted on my record that I helped Barton Heidler?
Well, you did help him. We're not going to erase the memory of the things that did happen here. After all, they do have to stand. They do have to stand for scrutiny.
I need to make sure it stays on my record, because helping a student is a rare thing on my record, as he thinks back to all the things that were so close to being black marks on his permanent on his record as a professor.
So there's still a bunch of students standing around. She says, "All right, belly up, guys. One final cup for everyone before we close it all down."
Is there anything I could do to help?
I mean, you could just keep running a coffee house. There's no reason to shut down the coffee part of the coffee house.
Actually, she looks at you at that and says, "You know, I really have enjoyed coming in and baking the treats in the morning, and I really don't relish being a student again."
That's good stuff. Not a
bad idea.
Solemn. I mean,
Galahad, would you spread the word?
Yes.
Can you? Is there? Wait. Does that mean I get to keep my card? Because the food looks really good.
Why not?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Well, so we'll close scene on everyone coming around and having coffee and treats as Mimi was now looking at her future of being the owner of
as an entrepreneur.
Shop. Yes.
Damn it.
The Forbidden Door Cafe.
Well, I'm thinking we might need a relocation change.
But doesn't it add to the mystique?
It's not kitschy enough? I mean,
yeah, it adds to the mystique.
I mean,
it makes it so that it's a little more elite, because you have to know about it in order to get in, either know someone or get invited personally.
And to be honest, the door is wonderful at keeping out unwanted guests summoned from the infernal or celestial realms.
And and summoning undead minions.
Yes.
They just leave a mess on the floor anyway. They try to drink, runs right through them.
I will nod. She has won an argument.
All right. So we'll cut scene on this. So you have succeeded in the first story arc. You found out where the missing staff went. You have averted a 1,000-year cycle of combat and war over the installation of a new college.
Damn it. Damn you, King! I'm going to remember this.
I'm just imagining in the top left corner, Galahad Mortis will remember this.
Yep.
You'll remember it because there's no time school. You're lucky to remember it.
Yes, my girlfriend doesn't get a fucking appointment. You bastard.
She could have had tenure.
Not your girlfriend.
I know. Look, I'm dreaming here. I'm dreaming of things that could have been.
You're thinking, so you're thinking of a time that
she dodged every timeline that happened in.
We don't know that yet. There's still potentiality, as I say, as my blue skin reflects.
No, I think she tanked her entire college just to be in a relationship with you.
Actually,
I'm saying just horrible things because I am hurt.
Look, you insignificant little prick. I have proof that you're
insignificant. Excuse me, I am the largest prick there is, and I blow him off.
It's at this point Mortimer opens the door and says, "Why, yes," as he gets off the phone. "Why, yes, gentlemen, the man you were looking for is right in here."
Yes, as the orderlies come running in after Vadis.
Oh no, they found me. They've come for me at last. I start fighting.
All right. So we'll close scene on that. And since we've wrapped up a first little arc here, I am going to award everyone one experience. So,
yay.
So I know at least one person's crested 5. Has anyone else?
No.
That gives.
I
me
have one XP.
Oh.
I failed a lot, and I've succeeded in a class experience. So.
Oh yeah, actually, if anyone is close, like if they're one XP close, if you want to teach a class and you haven't
already did this week, so.
Yeah.
Anyone need the XP to?
No, I've already.
Question: if I mark tenure, does that drop me to back to zero or back?
No,
to
it drops
4?
You to 4. It drops you to 4.
Yeah.
So,
but what's the point of marking tenure?
If I mark tenure now, drop to 4, and teach a class, could I then mark another tenure?
Yeah, you can do that.
But what's the point of marking tenure?
To get tenure. Vadis is old. And significant to the timeline.
I can see it. He's trying to make himself significant by making tenure. It makes sense, character-wise.
Yeah, it just... tenure's like... I don't know. I just...
All right, well, teach a class. Go ahead and give us a roll. Let's see how you do.
Wait, is my roll, isn't it? Oh, he hasn't taught it. He hasn't done it this week yet. No, that was everyone else.
Also, Pat, did you teach a class?
Yeah. I failed.
Okay.
I mean, eventually, at some point, if you play it long enough, eventually you're going to have no choices but to take tenure.
Oh,
you
know, yeah. I mean, like aha! Once your character gets powerful
holy
enough,
crud.
You're... But...
That is actually...
Right, so 9.
Partially right. Succeeded in teaching a class.
Yeah. So 9, you mark experience. So, one of your students visit with a complication. I'm going to save that for next time. That will be our kickoff for the next story thread is the student.
Okay, so I mark 2 experience, I guess. I mean, 2 tenure.
Yes, and you're back down to 4 experience still.
Wait, no, you only mark 1
tenure. Yeah, he had 5. He dropped to 4 to mark tenure. He just gained 1, which makes him at 5 again, and he dropped it back to 4 to mark another tenure.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm
See, the thing about tenure is it doesn't really have any game influence other than when you finish, you mark tenure, your character is quote safe and he's essentially out of the game.
It's kind of a pacing for your character's own personal story, because I mean that gives him the happy ending. I mean it's incumbent on the GM then to like make him like be fine, and that's it's kind of at your own pace depending on how you
I'm focusing on getting things first.
Well, I just, the way I see it is such that, you know, I don't know, I guess it can give a goal anyway. Spartan, you wrap it up, we can have other discussion.
I just wanted to see if anyone else had reached 5. It doesn't sound like it, so we just had 2 players crest 5.
No, I'm at 4.
So what did you think? What did you guys think of that one? That was
I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot. I just wish I would remember to actually use my my department move, you know, the actual zombies. And so, you know, I'm like, wait, I should have had the zombies grab the person because that's an adventure role. Damn it, I keep putting myself in personal danger when I have these guys to do it for me.
Yep.
Although I was happy that I finally got to use This Is My Life. You know, when you react to something ridiculous, over the top, mind rending, or appalling by rolling your eyes and just getting on with things.
I'm enjoying the dynamic we're getting between the characters.
In
insignificant.
Yes, I am going to try and find more points where I can push buttons for you guys to mark your burnout.
So. I believe I have 2 burnout now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
At 3, you get a dressing by your department head.
Excuse me, I would have 2 burnout if I flub when the student comes to visit me.
Yeah.
We don't have to do it now, but it's when in between now and the next session, I guess. Are we gonna have downtime if you want to do any kind of like research for
publishing? Yep, there will be downtime. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do want to kind of collaborate with the group to do some publishing.
Yep.
Question. There's a die roller on the Discord channel. So if you guys decide you want to do that between the session things, you can actually roll in Discord.
Oh, cool. I just wish I knew how to use it.
Just / roll.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, just like that. All right. Anything else, guys?
See it.
I fear and dread the next session.
Well, Bert, I now have my
significance.
Yes.
Oh, sorry for talking over. Well, now, Bert, I now have my TA, and you already have my information about my TA.
Yes.
My former butler.
All right.
Yeah.
Undead too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you for running, Bert. It was very fun. I very much look forward to the next session.
Agreed.
Next week is Dresden. So
yep.
Playing I'll Dresden. Be around. Then otherwise 2 weeks, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Yep.
Bye, everyone.